This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:48 in the morning, you're listening to The Morning Run with Shazana and Chuang. Now, the government has warned the e-hailing industry to toe the line over recent surge in fares or face harsher regulations. Transport Minister Datuk Sri Wickasyong said the ministry would not hesitate to suspend or revoke the licenses of e-hailing companies that violate the 200% surcharge limit imposed by the government. He also said he had requested the Land Public Transport Agency to investigate if e-hailing companies have violated the surcharge that had been fixed.
Yep, while the base fee for e-hailing fares was not regulated by Putrajaya, the surcharge cannot be more than twice the base fee amount. Of course, Kasyong had previously explained that the main reasons for the price increases were a mismatch in supply and demand, as well as heavy traffic.
But is harsher regulation the right way to address the rising prices of the e-hailing industry? What else can be done to address this issue? And will we see prices eventually correcting themselves? For some thoughts on this, we have on the line with us Chung Yifan, Independent Transport Policy Analyst. Yifan, good morning. Thanks very much for joining us. So the government has warned e-hailing companies that there could be stricter regulation if they don't get their price surges in order. I mean, what's your take on the price hike? Do you think that regulation can play a part in controlling it?
Oh, so, good morning. Thanks for having me. The e-hailing industry in Malaysia has been regulated since October 2019 under then the PH government. Before that, it was a period of years of maybe operating in the grey area. For me, the regulators of under the Ministry of Transport, including APAD, they have the power to access and monitor the industry data. Regulation and policy making is important, and it must be evidence-based, guided by facts and numbers, and a set of transparent principles informing the industry. Therefore, it's the responsibilities of the government as regulator to compel the operators to come forward and be more transparent by sharing more data with public. There's this claim that there's no profiteering or high fares are driven by lack of drivers made by the e-hailing operators. And these claims must be substantiated by data, by more sharing with public and regulators.
Yifan, my sense of your reply is the suggestion that even price increases or high fares is not even an actuality. It's based on anecdotal evidence. Is that a fact? I mean, why is there no more concrete data on this issue when it should be concrete data?
I won't say it's anecdotal. Well, I can agree that there are anecdotal evidence drawing from my own experience taking Grab maybe once or twice a week. I took one yesterday. Sometimes in recent weeks, I was really shocked by the price shown on the screen. So I think there are general uptrends in recent weeks. But to what extent those the hike compared to, pre-pandemic and during the pandemic period, regulation and the change in policy cannot be based on anecdotal evidence. You need to convince the public and you need to convince the industry. And, the only way for the government to achieve that is not to issue threats or political posturing, but to, show the numbers and explain to the public why certain steps are necessary.
Yifan, I'm wondering, do you think that with Grab seeing higher prices, does this make taxis more competitive? Or do you think ride-hailing has dominated the market to the point that, people truly have no choice but to pay for these increased fares?
Oh, yes and no. I think taxi drivers are now in the position to do better business. But by and large, e-hailing is still the dominant player now in the industry, with 90% or more than 90% of the market share by one single company, which is Grab. So there's this dependency on one player that has a near monopoly status, which is why it is important for the government to monitor the situation and to engage the stakeholders in a more effective way.
Yifan, high prices, I mean anecdotally, everyone can attest to that, including myself, who's taken ride-hailing in recent days. But these are market forces, and for reasons that are known to grab perhaps fewer drivers, more demand, and what have you. So if they are market forces, then the market can determine ultimately a price for ride-hailing. For example, in the form of more efficient competition, and then cheaper fares across the board, which then results in lower fares across the board. Should government take such a proactive role in terms of regulating or putting these frameworks around a market which can be driven by market forces?
Yeah, exactly. We already have the framework and we already have the regulation in place to protect both consumers, the drivers, as well as the industry. Before October 2019, without the regulation, insurance cannot come in. The consumers are not protected. So the framework is already there. Now the question is should the government go further, even to the extent of setting, ceiling price, such as what we do for chicken. I think there are good intentions nonetheless on the side of the government when setting or making intervention in the markets. But those good intentions can sometimes bring unintended and disastrous consequences. So we have to be there. I want to bring another perspective, which is, consumers complain about the high fares recently, but it is also positive for thousands of drivers who are probably earning more. And there are two sides of the coin. These drivers have been suffering for much of the past 2 years under the pandemic. Some lost their job. The fares, there are just no passengers during COVID-19. And now they are back with earning more than the last 2 years. And that's what we need to think from the other side of the coin as well. Yeah,
that's right. Because over-regulation can also stifle competition and also stifle investment. If the companies can't make any money because of over-regulation, then they might invest abroad. There's also other positive benefits, for example, in public transport, Yifan, don't you think? I mean, in KL, there are alternatives to ride-hailing. For example, an excellent MRT system and an LRT system.
Yeah, that's the point, right? When public transport options such as buses are more appealing, trains are run on time and reliable, demand for e-hailing services like Grab will normalize and prices will come down. Even if the fare remains high, so what? It caters to another market segment that's more affluent. People are willing to pay. So ordinary cost sensitive public users need not and should not rely on only e-hailing for daily commute. If we have better public transport, if our bus services and train services are more reliable and the network are stronger.
But I guess that's the issue as well, Yifan, the fact that network, especially that last mile connectivity network, it's not really there at the moment. It's a common gripe, which is why e-hailing is such a popular option for travelers. Do you see a short-term solution for our last mile connectivity woes?
Well, we have been grappling with this last mile connectivity problem for the last one decade or more. There's no really short-term solutions. The government has to, really think. This is where the government plays a role because, one major issue is our pedestrian walkways, are not well-planned and well-built. You want to encourage people to take trains and buses. And one very important thing is actually walking. But public transport users walk more than the drivers. You have to make sure that the walkways are, built in a better way. And the only party that can do this in an efficient and planned manner is the government. So I hope, in the coming years or coming months, the government can plan better and roll out a really good, road pedestrian walkway expansion program that will create jobs for small contractors as well. So that's That's my take, yeah.
Yifan, in about a minute or so, because we're running out of time, but one byproduct on a negative sense is the fact that the LRT and the MRT haven't had the best income because public transport ridership is so low. I mean, we've seen a spate of accidents and mishaps. I think recently, in fact, this week, another LRT train, had a bit of a, had a delay as well, had an issue. What can we do, maybe in terms of directing more government funds to the LRT and MRT to make sure that safety and quality standards are better than par?
Well, it's a tricky situation because LRT and trains in particular are not cheap to maintain. They are costly. 2 days ago, the Transport Ministry just announced that together with Prasarana, the operator, they need 800 million ringgit to pump in for the midlife refurbishment for the one class of the LRT trains, 800 million ringgit. And mind you, Prasarana's annual revenue is only about 1 billion ringgit. So the maths and the cost just is, doesn't add up, and it's very alarming. I mean, the government has to help and has to subsidize public transport, but the finances needs to be better managed, and I think a lot more public scrutiny is needed so that we can make sure public funds are not wasted.
Yifan, thanks very much for speaking with us. That was Chung Yifan, independent transport policy analyst, weighing in on the whole e-hailing fares debate, and also talking a little bit there at the end about connectivity issues and what he hopes to see the government do, really improving pedestrian walkways in the city. And I do agree with him, it's a terrible place to walk in our city at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, there should be limitations to government regulation, and we should also be limitation on expectations of governments in terms of regulating the country. There are silver linings all over the place if we care to look at it. The market is a very efficient mechanism, and if you leave the market alone, the market will right itself. For example, if provider A is too expensive, then provider B and provider C and provider D will come in and fill that gap and offer a cheaper solution, just a little bit like how AirAsia came in to solve, the premium fares and, the impecunious effects of that. And of course, there's also the additional benefit if, for example, if you're able to walk the last mile from the station to your house, and that offers lots of benefits in terms of exercising and getting some fresh air and some vitamin D free from the sun. So, if we care to look, there are benefits everywhere.
Sure, there are benefits. At the same time, I appreciate that how Yifan also just gave that it's a very nuanced situation where they're both the consumer and driver side in this ecosystem of e-hailing, and there are considerations on both ends in determining whether the government should intervene, how the government should intervene, how far. All these things are going to continue for sure. We'll be keeping an eye on this. Stay tuned with us, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.